You know, in almost every article that we've read on what's going on with you so far, starting from the very beginning when the FBI raided your house, and I guess we can talk about that in just a second, in virtually all of the articles, kind of identified as a kind of a geek or a nerd.
Yeah.
Is that like a self-identity thing, or is that a broad, overgeneralized characterization of you that is not fair?
Well, I'd say it's kind of generalized. I mean...
So you wouldn't describe yourself that way?
No, I wouldn't really describe myself as a geek.
Well, it didn't sound very complimentary, and I'd read it, and I'd read it, I think, in a few places.
Yeah.
You run a website called RaiseTheFist.com, which I gather is not really there anymore, or at least not in the form that it was.
Well, it's online. We're trying to get it back up and running, but it's online, but it's not really in operation right now.
I think it's fair to characterize this website as an anarchist website. You're clearly open about being an anarchist, right?
Yeah.
There came a point in time where the FBI raided your house.
Yeah.
Were you at home at the time that this happened?
Yeah. I was actually asleep. I was taking a nap. And my sister had seen, like, a bunch of cop cars and FBI cars. And, like, I was undercover police, basically all up and down the street. So she came in my room and woke me up, basically, and just telling me, like, hey, Sherman, there's all these undercover police and cop cars and all this, like, all up and down the streets, all focused on this house. So I basically got up and went to the door to see what was going on. Two FBI agents basically, like, pulled me outside, and they just basically, like, had the whole house surrounded and shit. Like, they had machine guns, shotguns, crazy.
I read that they were heavily armed.
Yeah, very.
So it was just you and your sister home at the time?
Yeah.
I imagine this was pretty terrifying.
Yeah, it woke me up pretty well. I was really asleep, and when everything went down, I was pretty much in a shock, but I wasn't really that surprised. But
what time of day was it?
It was at 4 p.m. Yeah.
So at least it wasn't like 4 in the morning or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You had been aware for some time that the FBI had been monitoring your website?
Oh yeah, like ever since it's gone up, they've just been on there consistently. They've been doing, just so much extensive monitoring on the site, like crazy.
When did you first become aware of that?
about 2 years ago, I think. I started actually logging visitors and logging government activity on the website.
So there's been a lot of that for years?
Yeah.
Almost constant, according to one article that I read.
Yeah, every day. At one point, there was over 100 hits on the website in a single day by the FBI.
You weren't taken into custody at that time, right?
No.
Were you questioned, or they just went in and took a bunch of your computers?
They went in, seized all the computers, and during this whole process, it started at like 4 p.m. and ended at 10:30 p.m. Like during that whole process, I was basically, being questioned by the FBI and Secret Service, and just basically being interrogated the whole time and all.
There comes a time after this when you find yourself in New York City for the World Economic Forum protests.
Yeah.
And I gather you were arrested at that time. Do you feel you were singled out at all by the police for arrest?
I felt I was actually pretty singled out. I mean...
You were with a group of people?
Yeah, like, they basically just rushed all of us. And I had learned later in court at my bail hearing that they did it because apparently they had me targeted and they had, they basically thought, I had some kind of quote-unquote alleged plot or whatever. So they basically, wanted to put a stop to it. So they just basically rushed a bunch of people.
So what did they charge you with? Or was it the kind of thing where they were just detaining you?
I think they were charging us with, I can't remember. I think unlawful assembly, even though it was a permitted march. But they ended up dropping the charges.
I think we've all found more and more often that that's a common tactic that the police are using these days in order to stifle dissent. They will take people into custody on bogus charges with the full intention of dropping them and releasing them the next day or, I don't know, after the conference. Or in your case, it was quite a long time because they handed you over to the FBI, right?
Yeah, basically. Well, I was basically sitting in jail for like 30 hours. And then I was,
Were you treated okay?
They gave us, like, bread and, like a banana or an apple or something every now and then. Yeah, it was pretty bad in there. You just stay in a cell for, like, whenever you leave or whatever. But I was in there for, like, 30 hours, and then I was basically handcuffed again. And then, taken to this back room, where I was basically interrogated by a detective. and a man who identified himself as a Secret Service agent. I think I was interrogated for like three or four hours.
I gather they were asking you about your website.
Yeah, they were asking me all sorts of crazy junk, like stuff about my website, stuff about the raid. I mean, they were asking me if I was a terrorist or involved in any terrorist organizations. I mean, the scary thing about it is, like, they were pretty serious about it. They didn't really seem to believe anything I was telling them, even though I was telling the truth.
Were you in the custody of the FBI at this point, or from this point on, or?
No, I was still in custody of the NYPD. And what happened is, basically, after the interrogation, about 5 minutes after that, I was basically put in, like, the police van thing and taken to court where I was going to be released. And basically that's what happened. I was released at the court at 100 Center Street, the courthouse. I just waited in the lobby for like 30 minutes, you know, making legal phone calls, seeing if someone could pick me up. And then in the court lobby is where the FBI came and arrested me, basically.
So they kind of let you out for a few minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
Where did they take you? Did they keep you in New York?
Well, they basically arrested me and like they herded me out of the building. And they put me in this black SUV with like tinted windows and everything. And then they drove me to the federal building and basically processed me, searched me, took pictures of me, fingerprints, and all that. And they were going to interrogate me again, but it actually ended up not happening. I said, like, you know, I'm not talking to you guys anymore without legal representation. So basically then I was, after that, we left the federal building and I was taken to the Southern District Federal Prison in Lower Manhattan. It's like it's MCC Federal Prison. I was in high security. I was told it's called Southern District. I mean, I'm not sure if that's the exact name, but that's what they told me. But
I read somewhere that you were in Oklahoma at one point.
Yeah, I was in the New York Federal Prison for 13 days. No, I think 12 days. I was in the other jail for like a day, and then I was in New York Federal Prison for like 12 days.
So this made you apparently the last of all of the people who had been arrested at the World Economic Forum protests to be released. What were you charged with?
Gosh, I can't remember exactly what the charges were, but it was, they told me it was under the Patriot Act.
So eventually they released you.
Yeah, basically, what was going to happen basically is, because I was denied bail in New York, so basically they were going to transport me back to California in custody of the U.S. Marshals. So I was airlifted to a Oklahoma federal prison as a hub, where basically they take all prisoners when they're being transported to a destination.
I've heard that that's a really scary place.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. I was luckily only there for like 2 days, because I got released, you know, after I got released in Oklahoma. But when I got there, I wasn't in high security anymore. I was in general population. And then I was there for about 2 days, and then I actually called my mom, and she told me the charges had been dropped. So that was a big relief. And about the next day, I can't remember exactly what time, but the next day, I was basically released.
So there's still a reasonable risk that you're going to be arrested at some point in the future?
Yeah, well, basically, what we're doing right now is just, you know, waiting and seeing, you know, what their next step is. I mean, they charged me with something and they dropped the charges out of the blue, and I'm assuming that they just did it because they knew they really couldn't go anywhere with it because they didn't have enough evidence on me, because I basically didn't do anything. But
well, when they first raided your house and took your website off, I assume that they had found something objectionable on your website that caused them to do this, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
What was that?
It was, I think, the Reclaim Guide. It was basically, it went over protest tactics, and it had been posted on the website.
And that's been posted in other places, right?
Yeah, that's on a bunch of other different websites as well.
Why do you think they singled you out as opposed to some of these other places?
Probably because Raise the Fist was actually, you know, getting pretty popular. It was getting a lot of people's attention and had a really strong, had a really strong message, and it was really, you know, effective in what it was doing and, you know, basically, you know, getting information out there, you know, really educating people and showing them, you know, this is what they don't want you to think, stuff like that.
So the website's been down. Do you plan to do more work on it in the future, or has this experience of being arrested kind of put a damper on it for you?
Yeah, well, we're actually planning to get it back up, like, ASAP. Like, it's online. People can go to it and connect to it. But there's just a message there explaining everything that happened.
Right.
We're actually trying to obtain remote backup files that we had uploaded a few months ago on a remote server. But apparently we learned, like, about 2 days ago that the FBI had seized those, too. So we're actually trying to coordinate with the host and actually letting them, basically retrieve our files back because we had paid them for the account. I don't know. Hopefully that works out. Hopefully we can get the site, back up and actually moving.
Well, like the way it was before.
Yeah, like the way it was before.
When it first got taken off, you could view cached pages, but it didn't really give you the full idea, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So that'll be good when that happens, and it'll be great for you because they've given you a big slab of, free publicity for your website.
Yeah. After the raid, it was getting, 200,000 hits.
Apparently somebody in the FBI was impersonating you on your AOL Messenger. Is that
right? Oh, yeah.
Do you know about this?
Yeah, that's actually true. Like, it actually has happened before. But they have actually, basically hijacked, taken over, hacked into my AOL Instant Messenger screen name.
That happened before you were arrested?
Yeah, no, that happened before the raid. Okay. I used to have a different screen name, and what happened with that is they did the same thing they did with my other screen name when I was in custody, is they basically hacked it and basically took it over, and it was seized for 12 days, and then the screen name was basically pulled off the system, and it was basically terminated.
Do you know what was said exactly?
Not really. From what I heard, when I was in custody of the FBI, when I was in federal prison, they were apparently signing on with the screen name and taunting people, taunting different people I knew, basically. And they said stuff like, "You're next," and stuff like that.
Right, so they're intimidating your friends.
Yeah, basically.
I promised I wouldn't take up much of your time, and I know you've been really busy with lawyers. I want to thank you for calling and telling us about your story.
No problem.
On Saturday, March the 2nd, the Law Union of Ontario hosts their annual conference of progressive and radical perspectives on the law, civil disobedience, animal rights, gender identity, legal aid, social assistance, the legal aftermath of September 11th, and more. 9:30 to 5 p.m. at the Ontario Institute for Studies and Education, 252 Bloor Street West. Call 416-926-8034 for more information.